On today's episode, we're going to set sail and talk about Jordan's experience on the Disney Wish. First time experiencing a Disney cruise, we got a lot to unpack, plus a little bit of resort stays. This is episode 112 of the Off the Monorails podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. This is the Off the Monorails podcast. I am yours truly, Ryan, and I am joined, as always, by my two very handsome friends, cousins, brother, Justin and Jordan.
So, adjectives.
Yeah.
Hello.
Inserted here.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Jordan, you got your legs back under you yet?
Oh, yeah. 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 My sea legs are good. No, wobbles here.
That's good.
But I'm doing good for all intents and purposes. This is the my first day back to work post vacation today.
So he is not okay.
It's always the roughest.
He is not.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do with that with what you will. But
well, like not to
preface, it was a trying day.
Yeah. Not to preface too much. You did get an extra day on Disney property to wind down from such festivities. So it could have been worse. You could have been back a day earlier and been an adult. But, you know, you did have a nice little fancy stay there to wind things back into reality.
Yeah.
Okay, you did it the right way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll get to that, but absolutely.
Yeah, we have a ton to unpack on this episode. I'm going to go ahead and say episode series because I'm sure this is at least going to garner a part two. So, we're going to leave you on a cliffhanger at some point today, and you'll have to wait till next week to find the crescendo, if you will, of this magnificent trip. So, you'll have to stay tuned for that, and always be following us along on all of our socials, and that would be at Off the Monorails, at Instagram, X, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. Jordan is holding up a beautiful model of the Disney Wish, and I want it.
Yeah, that is epic.
Folks listening can't see this, but we record via webcams. So he is flexing on us right now with his Disney Cruise Line merch, and you piss me off. I'll tell you that.
There's going to be more throughout the episode, so
okay.
Just wait. I just wanted to show it off because as you're plugging all the social channels, it's important to note that if everyone listening isn't following us on and subscribe to us on YouTube, they should go do that. Again, at Off the Monorails on YouTube, we've got a lot of video content to share from this cruise and from this vacation overall. So if you're not subscribed there yet on YouTube,
this is the time.
Absolutely.
You have been warned.
Yeah,
get to see all the cool merch.
Exactly. And this is going to be probably, you know, the start of our long form content. Jordan has really put his foot into this and has put a lot of effort into some equipment and time and just trying to get this editing down and try and figure out what type of video style he wants. So this is kind of like our beta phase, but it's going to be the start of a new chapter. And you know, while we're kind of in the midst of just introducing ourselves into this episode, it's also a new chapter for myself. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I have recently taken on a new job after the being at the same one for 9 years. And I made a change that was well needed within my scheduling and just family life. And we talk about this all the time, just how important time with family is and your kids. They grew up before your eyes, before you know it. And life can get away from you if you let it. And I've just gotten a new lease on life and got a new perspective on things. And my new schedule is going to definitely help with Disney trips. So that helps us in the long run, too. It's a new chapter. There's a lot of new things happening for all of us this year. Just another stepping stone to keep building on with the momentum we already have for this year. And we're only in March. So it's just the start of many things for all of us individually and all, you know, conclusively. it's a good feeling. And it's, like I said, another stepping stone to just being better people.
I couldn't be happier for you, Ryan. And, you know, I'm just like you said, right? It's about finding that balance in life and being able to make sure that you had the right time for the right things. And so, yeah, new beginnings, new start. I mean, it's hard to leave and start somewhere else after you've been at a place for 9 years. I mean, that's quite a long time, especially in this day and age. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to find your life.
It's hard to find somebody that has stayed at a job for 2+ years coming from someone who's had to, you know, interview and hire a lot of people along my way. And yeah, so it's commendable, but I'm super, super happy for you and hope that this is, this move does incredible things for you and your family.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. And it's going to be fun. And like I said, it's going to get us in the parks a little more. And that's a huge thing, because that's our happy place. And that's also what gives us content to keep this crazy machine going. So, but before we get any further off on a tangent or in a rabbit hole, this is our coffee break. This is our banter session where we talk about news and any other happenings within our lives or just in the Disney bubble. And it's always brought to you by our good friends at ExpeditionRoasters.com. They are our coffee plug. And there isn't a roast they make that we haven't tried. That is for sure. And if you would like to try some yourself, we will leave a link, an affiliate link, in our episode description. Be sure and click it and go browse their selection of coffees and mugs and merch. They got any type of roast you want, whole bean. You can grind it yourself, or you can get it freshly ground. Theme parks and pop culture inspired. And also, it'll save you some money with our code OffTheMonorails at checkout. That'll save you 10% on any order you place in the future with that code. And if you get your cart to $65 or more, that'll also give you free shipping in the U.S. So you got some ways to save money and get some good coffee. And that's, again, ExpeditionRoasters.com. And fellas, what kind of news we got coming down the pipelines?
So, gentlemen, we have some D23 news that have dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Recently. Including some announcements regarding Disney Legends as well. Just a few names here to name off. James Cameron. If you know him, you know him. Avatar.
Hard to not know him.
Sounds familiar.
Jamie Lee Curtis. You also have Harrison Ford. I mean, how can you forget about Harrison and all the work he has done within Star Wars?
Yeah, he made
Wars
a great truck.
And there's two more people I want to recognize in particular order too. John Williams.
Yeah.
The dude is a legend when it comes to music and music composition.
Mm-hmm.
He is most notably known for the Star Wars theme, mm-hmm. but he's also known for the Jurassic Park theme.
Almost every theme.
Numerous. Dude, he has covered so much ground. And the second person I want to mention is a Disney Imagineering legend, and I'm talking about Joe Rohde.
Yeah.
This man has touched so many different parts of the parks all across the world, and one of his last adventures with the Disney company was building Pandora.
With James Cameron.
with James Cameron. And I think that left a lasting impression on me. Just that overall design. We all are just in awe every time we step in Pandora. So a tip of the cap to all of those, but in particular, in my opinion, John Williams and Joe Rohde.
Yeah.
I tip my cap to you guys.
Yeah, the thumbprint that Joe Rohde has on the company, we've talked about this before, that Pandora opened, I believe, the same day that the Guardians of the Galaxy revision of
Mission
the
Breakout.
Tower of Terror in Disneyland opened on the same day. And Joe Rohde flew to both ends of this country for both openings. You want to talk about somebody that's got their foot in the pot. That's the guy.
Yeah, dedicated to the game. I mean, if you go to Animal Kingdom and just look at the detail. Yeah. Yep. Around Animal Kingdom, that is Joe Rohde's love letter
in all his travels. Yeah,
to people, right? That's his showcase, and it's incredible, right? Like that he left that much of a mark on that company, And I mean, arguably the company hasn't been the same without him. So
very true.
It's a very unique perspective of what he brought to Imagineering and his approach and his style. And again, his attention to detail for the little things. So yeah, he obviously well-deserving, like many of the others on this list. So it's really cool to see them all be honored in this way.
Yeah. And also we have a new announcement for yet another ship to the Disney Cruise Line fleet. And this one has taken a stance of its own, and that is the Disney Destiny. And it will be a sister ship to the Wish and the Treasure. But this one stands alone because it's going to have a little bit of a yin and yang effect to it, a little bit of a different vibe. It will be a heroes and villains concept. So it's going to have that balance, and that's going to attract a lot of people. And I know are a lot of people.
Yeah. Namely, I mean, some of the heroes that they tease in the announcement video, it seems like at least that Hercules is going to be featured heavily in the ship's theming, and Hades as well, right there on the villains side of things. It looked like maybe Spider-Man or Black Panther might be featured in here as well. Edna Mode was also kind of teased on a door. They showed Scar, they showed Cruella. Man, how cool would it be to be like to go into like a skull, like an elephant graveyard bar?
Oh man, take me there.
I feel like that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
you could have a lot.
If they got the Birdie Boiler, I'm down.
I think they're gonna have a lot of fun with this. Yeah, it has to, right? I think they're gonna have a lot of fun with this. And so it's the same company that's built the rest of the Triton fleet, being the Wish and the Treasure. The Destiny joins that lineup and is being built by the same company in Germany right now. And it will have its inaugural sailing, its maiden voyage in 2025. And fellas, if my math serves me correctly, that means that the Disney Treasure, the Disney Adventure, and the Disney Destiny will all set sail in their maiden voyages within a maximum of 13 months of each other.
That would
be
correct.
Money.
And this is part of that big money investment we talked about across the company from last year's announcements. Mm-hmm. You know, Disney's been in a bit of a slump with showing their cards and having things to prove that they have put capital into the company. This is massive. Very massive. Yeah. You're talking about a whole fleet of ships.
Yeah, I mean, and that I just named three ships. That didn't include the Wish, which kicked things off just in 2022. Yep. It's not even 2 years old yet. And I mean, so that's a lot of money to invest into four ships in less than 3 years' time.
And I think that Disney has
that's a huge undertaking for a cruise line alone.
Yeah, yeah. I think Disney has bought another one that's partially built, and they're
finishing the Adventure.
Building it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the Adventure I talked about. Yeah, and that's going to be their the one that takes the Pacific route.
Yeah, and
goes to the
port
new
in Singapore and stuff.
Itinerary. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, awesome. I mean, they got a lot of great things happening, and I mean, some of the older ships are coming due for dry docks soon and will have refurbs going on as well.
Yep.
I think you're about to see a further resurgence or maybe a further establishment of Disney owning that space.
Yep.
I know that, you know, just what was it, a month or so ago that Royal Caribbean just released, you know, and had the inaugural sailing of its newest lineup, and that ship is massive and looks great. But yeah, there's something about, we'll get into this a little bit later, but there's something about Disney saying, here, you know, we're here to play the game too, right? We're going to try to keep up as well and try to be a leader in this space where they weren't previously, right? This is a relatively new business line for them, right? They got started in the mid 90s, and so they're holding their own now it feels like.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So with the news and our coffee break all out of the way, it is now time, Jordan. We're not going to waste of people's time. Let's dive into part one of this series. Please, Jordan, take it from here and kick us off. And ladies and gentlemen, let's enjoy the ride.
what a ride it was. So I'll take you through this trip a little bit through my lens, through my eyes, and kind of give you my perspective of what kind of went into the trip and planning the trip and kind of getting started along the way. Again, as we kind of mentioned earlier, we'll have full video footage of my trip and kind of if you want to see how everything went down in a consolidated fashion, that will be available on our YouTube channel soon. For us personally, right, this was a 13-month ordeal in the making. When we first booked this cruise, it was in February of last year. So it's been a long time coming. You've heard us talk about it time and time again on the show, but there's a lot of planning that goes into it. It's a lot of research. This was our first Disney cruise, which we've heard, great things about, but also very different things compared to, some of the Royal Caribbean or Carnival or Norwegian cruises we had gone on in the past. And so there was a lot of time and energy spent on trying to just figure out the best way for us to maximize our time on the ship. So this was a 3-night sailing from Port Canaveral on the Disney Wish. We left on a Friday and came back on a Monday. But before we even got started on the Wish itself, we enjoyed a night stay over at Disney's Port Orleans Riverside Resort, which is always fantastic to visit. We got down there early in the morning. I think we arrived at about 10 o'clock we drove straight over to Epcot so that we could go and enjoy a small snippet of the festival going on right now, Flower and Garden. So if you listen to that episode, that preview episode we did a couple weeks ago, previewing all the activities there for the festival, and then listening to Ryan's trip recap a couple weeks back now about his visit on opening weekend of the festival, it just got me itching to go. And so that's what we did. We spent a couple hours that early morning at Epcot and enjoying some of the festival activities. So I'm going to start there because I think it's worth talking about some of the food that we got to try. Yeah. So I'll get to something that was very disappointing here in a minute. I did take the time to go over to Florida Fresh and try the lobster tail. This is one of the items that I absolutely had on my list that definitely need to try this item. I like lobster a lot. And it's char grilled right there, fired up there on the grill at the booth, which is
smells wonderful in that area.
It does. The key lime butter, if you remember from our preview episode, very, very attractive to me. But I will tell you, we got this lobster tail, and I think they had cooked it a little too long. It got that tough texture to it, a little bit tougher to chew. So while I think there's still pretty good value for this dish and good flavors primarily, it is going to be kind of a luck of the draw situation on it as of it being cooked too long or not. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. But overall, like I said, if I could easily go back to that booth and get another one and on another day and it'd be perfect. So, yeah. It was all right for me. It was a pretty good option for me for this festival. And then we got to go over to the Canada booth as well. And I got to try the sour there, Ryan, the grapefruit lime sour. And while it was a good beer, it was a refreshing beer for a warmer day, it was much more grapefruit than lime.
Yeah.
And you know me, I would have preferred the lime to be the forward taste there, but it it sadly it wasn't, but it was still a good beer. It was from Creative Arts, which we love their offerings throughout the years. So it was a good beer overall from there. Also, I want to mention a huge disappointment for me. If you haven't seen some of our videos on Instagram, you may have come across the reel that, we expressed our big disappointment for the honey mascarpone cheesecake disappearing from the Honey Bistro menu this year.
RIP.
And they technically kept it for the festival, but they moved it across the walkway over to the Swirled Showcase, where they primarily have ice creams and stuff available there, soft serves. Well, they brought the honey mascarpone cheesecake there, but they decided to try to freeze dry it. And from a presentation standpoint, it's okay. It's different. It's something. But for the taste, they absolutely ruined this dish. It was terrible. It gets like the smallest points because it's cheesecake, but that's it. Like it's still like they took something great from us, guys.
They took arguably one of the best dishes in a festival period at Epcot and just...
Correct.
Yeah.
They should be ashamed themselves.
That is definitely like, if you had to take any... Build a top five out of all the festival offerings throughout the year...
Oh, this is hitting the list.
That's definitely in the top five out of across the board. And to take something like that and ruin it. Like, I absolutely will not order that again. No one should. It was not enjoyable whatsoever. I hate it.
Let's start a riot.
I hate it. Yeah. I'll be in the front of the line. Facts. So, yeah. So, that was primarily our festival experience so far. We do have a couple more trips lined up, ready to go for Flower and Garden before it ends in late May. So, hang on, hold tight. We'll be back with some more feedback for you then. But so far, that's what we've got to experience. So there you go. But from there, we went back over to Port Orleans and hit the swimming holes because why not, right? You have to, when you're there, you have to go and experience the pools over at Riverside. We got to stay in the Alligator Bayou section, which is also fun. But did you guys see? So this was on Thursday, the 14th. Did you guys see some of the on Disney news pages that what happened there? At Port Orleans Riverside on the 14th.
I seen that the pool got shut down. I think it was there or Pop Century. I know Pop Century's got shut down twice in the same week. And I want to say I seen Port Orleans pool got shut down.
So Port Orleans French Quarter, their pool is down right now because it's getting a big refurb.
Okay.
So maybe that's what you may have seen. But over at Riverside, and we were not, for one, this was not anyone in our party. And for two, I didn't get to witness this in person. But some people did capture it on camera. But apparently someone, as you guys know, you may not know if you're listening, you may not be familiar with Port Orleans Riverside. As the name says, it's Riverside. So it is along the Sasagula River, the same river that you can take a boat over to Disney Springs on. A lady, decided that it might be a good idea to go swim in the Sasagula River. She also decided it might be a good idea to only wear a bikini. Bottom. Only. So, you know.
Florida man strikes again.
You know, there's no sign saying no swimming in the Sasagula River.
There will be now.
And technically there's no sign saying that you can't be topless, but hey,
However, there is a thing of public indecency.
You know,
shoot first, ask questions later.
I saw the video. It looked like she just had a nice relaxing, you know, dip in the river and then wanted to sunbathe a little bit in the grass. It's teach their own, I guess, but I would probably not recommend doing that. So
you know, I have swam in my, you know, my fair share of discolored rivers and whatnots. I don't think I'd ever want to dive off into the Sasagula.
No.
It's like swimming in Chernobyl.
yeah.
You're kind of getting where I'm going here.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was an exciting event that happened that day.
But not only that, but to do it topless. Wow. Adventurous spirit. I'll admire that part of it.
A noble
attempt.
You
just don't want any tan lines, you know? You can't have tan lines. You know? Jeez.
Can't do it, I guess.
Yeah. So, but it was a good stay there. We got to go have dinner at Boat Rights. Kept it nice and easy staying there on property. Just kept the dining reservation there. But Boat Rights was a good offering as always. I got the Cajun chicken. And boys, let me tell you, they're not afraid to go with the spice and the Cajun food here. Just like we did experience before with the jambalaya and the gumbo. They are not afraid to really actually be authentic with the Cajun spices. And it was really good.
Did you get the pecan pie cheesecake again?
No, I did not. I was, the chicken was plenty for me. Let's just say that.
Disgustingly
full. I was not interested in chasing dessert that night. But I did get to go see our friend Yeehaw Bob perform his opening set.
What a legend.
There at the River Roost Lounge. And man, let me tell you, it's always a treat to go see him perform.
You look great, Bob.
The way he works the crowd and he does look great. It's always, like I said, it's just such a great time and such an underrated activity to do.
Yeah.
Really.
Not just at Disney, but in the Orlando area. Like, I think if people, if they're local or anything, if you are staying around Orlando and you've got time that you're free on one of those nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe is his performance times now, go over there and see him because it's so good. It's so worth the time to go see him. We wrapped up that evening with Bob. We got up the next morning and just enjoyed a nice breakfast there at the Millworks. And we drove over from Port Orleans directly to Port Canaveral. And let me tell you, I mean, if shoot straight down, I think it's 528, the toll road there. What a great drive. What just a nice scenic drive. Easy peasy, just straight shot. Directly to the port, and it's become very easy to get around that area. Let's talk about arrival to the port itself, to the terminal. This was our first Disney cruise, so this was my first time experiencing the Disney port there at Port Canaveral, the Disney terminal there. And gentlemen, I know it's been a while since I was on a cruise last. I know it's been a while since you guys were on a cruise last. And Ryan, you'll get to experience this here soon yourself in just a couple weeks. But the process for checking in here was so smooth. I had to give kudos to that team because you do file into a line, right? But the line moves quick. You pull up to the porter station. They give you clear instructions. You quickly unload all your bags for you. And they make sure your bag gets to where it's going, right? You go easily just pull around the corner to the parking garage. Easy to find a spot. Park. Walk over to the terminal. And you're there at security now. And security was a breeze. I mean, super clear instructions. We got all of our stuff aligned right there. before we went up the escalators to the terminal entrance itself. And we had an early boarding time, at least I thought pretty early. I mean, it was 12:45. And we pulled up in line at probably right at 12:45, 12:48, somewhere around there. We got into that terminal at probably 1 o'clock, 1:05. Guys, if we didn't stop to take pictures in the terminal, we would have been on the ship 1 minute later.
Oh, wow.
Like
wow.
It was so surprising to me because every video I'd seen, anything people had talked about, oh, this terminal is going to be busy, whatnot. We get there, there's almost no one to be seen. And like I said, we didn't stop and get some of the pictures before we boarded. It's just literally a straight shot to the gangway. You go through the Mickey ears and then you see the ship. It's right there in front of you. And so, yeah, there we were. I mean, ready to get on. And it's so cool. I think it's so fun that they, you know, they announced your family as you're walking onto the ship. So we had a lot of fun with that. My parents had a lot of fun with that. It was a really cool moment for us and for the kids, you know, to kind of have that excitement. Yeah. Hey, like they say that you take a couple steps and you're on the ship, right? You see that lobby, you see that atrium, that iconic atrium now that's so different than all the other Disney ships. And so you see the Cinderella statue, the grand staircase, just the fine touches. And we were talking about details. We talked about Joe Rohde a little bit ago, man, the details that they have put into this ship are phenomenal. I don't know if you guys watched that special, the Making of the Wish special.
I sure did.
But man, it's just extra touches after extra touches, right? And it's just, it's amazing. They actually have a walking tour that you can book. They do it throughout the sailing, but they have a walking tour that with a guy that will guide you through some of those additional details on the ship. So even things that weren't discussed in that documentary, you can go and find out, and it kind of take you through some of the main levels of the ship itself. So it's that's first thing that stuck out to me was just like the details and the craftsmanship of that ship was just amazing. Amazing. I will say it is a mad scramble to kind of get your bearings or figure out where you're going to go next. The rooms were ready immediately, which I thought was pretty cool, because That's we nice. Had heard reports that your room may not be ready till about 2:30 sometimes. And this was, again, this was about 1:05, 1:10. And our rooms were ready. Our luggage wasn't there yet, but the rooms were definitely ready. Our key cards were waiting there for us. Lunch was already being served in one of the dining rooms and upstairs at the Festival of Foods and Marceline Market, which is up on the pool deck. And it's a kind of cool showcase because, you know, you pop up on the pool deck, and, you know, you're on other cruise lines, at least for us. We're used to just like going to this all one spot buffet and it's just a crowded mess, you know?
Right.
Where this, the way they have it spread out is when you go into the pool deck, which is deck 11, you depend on which side of the boat you're on, you know, enter from the aft or the forward, we were greeted by Mickey's Festival of Foods. And it's these different booths essentially that kind of make a horseshoe around the deck. You have the soft serve ice cream station. You've got a good old like hot dogs, burgers, fries kind of station there. You've got the smokehouse. So you got pulled pork, brisket, smoked sausage, all kinds of barbecue, baked mac and cheese, some good fixings there. Collard greens. They were doing it right, but with the barbecue too, guys. You got a pizza station, and then you had, which one of my favorites was Donald's Cantina, and it was kind of basically like a Chipotle. So super fresh, great stuff. You can make a taco bowl, you make a burrito, I make tacos. It was just really, really good. So they had that set up there, and then you walk along the pool deck, and their pools are on this ship are like split up into kind of a lot of miniature pools where they fit maybe 20 to 30 people maximum at a time. But they have a bunch of them kind of up on deck 11, deck 12, deck 13, and 14. So they kind of situate them that way. And then as you walk further on deck 11, you get into Marceline Market, which is more so like a closed area on the forward of the ship. And that has, it may be on the aft. I can't remember. I'm getting turned around a little bit, but essentially that's the buffet where they have a huge selection of food options. They have drink stations galore everywhere. They even have like a specialty coffee bar and a cocktail bar there as well. But you name it, they have it, right? They've got your crab legs. They've got the shrimp. They've got salmon. They've got different Asian dishes. They've got a whole like kids section, right? They got the chicken fingers. They got the French fries. They've got everything for the kids. They had different salads. They had different desserts. And I mean, we're not talking about just like plain desserts, guys. I mean, I walked up, got an apple crumb cake. It caught my eye because, you know, I'm a good Southern boy. So anything apple kind of catches my eye. And absolutely. Then I said, and what's nice about this buffet, right, is they still have service. So it's all behind glass. You let someone know what you want and they'll grab it for you and serve you from behind the buffet. Which is also nice because it means no one's touching their hands all over your food, right? So I was like, oh, I'll take one of those apple crumb cakes. And then they said, would you like ice cream on it?
I sure as hell would.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I didn't know that was an option, but absolutely. So, yeah.
It's like a caramel drizzle, sir.
I mean, it's just everything you could want. They had it, and it was great too because it was eclectic, right? It wasn't just the same old stuff that you would see, and it rotated every day, so you would get to experience new things there. Because they change it out every day, you could go find something new, and I mean, hell, you're there, try it. I mean, they had like exactly. chicken masala and just different type of like Indian dishes and Chinese dishes. And just like they have some awesome like vegetarian options to try too. Like, man, I got the chickpea samosa. Holy cow, dude. This thing was so good. It was like a you ever had like the Southwestern egg rolls?
Oh yeah. Gimme.
It's like that. It was so good. So yeah, so we really enjoyed throughout the entire cruise, kind of exploring that area and seeing what they had to offer. I mean, you had like good, like nice fresh focaccia breads. Just they literally had everything for everyone. And it was so nice to just be able to explore different things, right? And just try new things. And the way it's situated, it's all along the window, the seating, everything is super elegant. It's well themed, like everything Disney does, but it was done very tastefully, where you had these little nods to characters throughout the setup, but it felt like you were just like, I don't know, sitting in someone's like sunroom, you know, having a meal, because it just was all alongside the windows, and you could look out and you could see the port, you could see the water or whatever. So it was just a really, really nice setup that they had there. And it didn't feel crowded. That is until the morning of Nassau, day two. That felt a little crowded up there then, because everybody was trying to get to the same place at the same time. But yeah, first thing we were doing is we were eating. And we were figuring out, you know, where our room was and kind of started to try to get our bearings straight on like where some of the things were that we had seen in videos or we'd seen on the deck plans and things like that. Getting the bearings straight, if you will.
So up to this point, being that we are experienced with other cruise lines and you know, going through the motions up to this point, boarding the ship and then enjoying your first meal, how would you compare Disney's to the others up to this point?
Yeah, I mean, up to this point, I liked it more because of the fact that it felt open. It absolutely felt new, which it absolutely should feel new, right? Because it's only, you know, it's not even 2 years old yet. But because of that, you know, the way that the food was set up, the staff that we were interacting with, I'd say even the crowd that we were experiencing, which was relatively light, it was very enjoyable, I guess is the best way to put it, Justin, is comparatively speaking, I didn't feel like I was rushed yet. I didn't feel that I was in anyone's way. I felt that I was in a hurry because of myself, yeah. Right? Because I was eager to go find other That's things fair. Versus it being outside factors. So yeah, I mean, it was very easy for us to go and enjoy. I could have easily just gone over, got some food and just sat in a chair and just been in vacation mode immediately. I wasn't because I was capturing some content and I was trying to get a little bit of a feel for how the ship was laid out. Since so many people had commented about how differently this ship is laid out compared to other ships in the Disney fleet, especially, but even comparing it to other ships. So that was kind of my goal and initiative when we first got on, but super impressed with, again, the thing that caught my attention real quick was the detail and the craftsmanship.
So as far as cast member interactions, could you see a similarity or like a feeling much like what you get arriving to your resort for a stay? Did it have that same hospitality and warmth that the Disney difference we talk about?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. And that'll come through. We'll talk about that, you know, more as we go throughout this. And it's something that would definitely, you know, showcase in the YouTube videos too. But,
okay.
It's, you know, it's impeccable. I mean, it really is. And I was talking to my mom about this, who's been on a lot of cruises as well, right? And so she's had a lot of experience with, you know, interacting with different cruise lines. And I told her, I was like, hey, you know, I know that it's been 10 years, you know, almost 10 years since we went on a cruise last. And I'm wondering, like, did the cruise industry just change for the better that much over the last 10 years, or is Disney that much better than everyone else? Because the service and the attention and the thoughtfulness of every person, every cast member, every crew member on that ship, you felt it. You felt it as a guest. I mean, down to the guys maintaining the ship. I mean, when we were at port in Nassau, not to get off track too much chronologically, but when we were at port in Nassau, we passed by a few of the guys doing like some of the touch up paint stuff, right? And there was a piece that they were touching up that was alongside like a bottom trim. And I'm telling you, to the naked eye, if someone, this was at the bottom of, you know, maybe it was like a wall or something. This is at the bottom of the base there. Someone walking by, you would never have seen that the paint ran slightly. And this guy is down there, hands and knees, literally like with a razor blade, scraping it off to make sure that it stays perfectly in line.
I can appreciate that.
And that was the attention to detail that you felt everywhere.
Wow.
From the from the interactions of, you know, just in general, like people, whether it's them making your drink, whether it's the people greeting us onto the ship, whether it was the people that were at the buffet serving us the food, whether I had to call out our, you know, our room hosts, you know, our room attendant. He was great. Norman, he was great. It's fantastic. If you get Norman on the Disney Wish as your room host, man, I tell you, fantastic. Just again, we end up getting two bags delivered to our room at some point, but two bags were delayed, and so he asked me. He said, "Is everything good? Is everything okay?" And he said, "Are you? Do you have all your bags?" I said, "No, but I understand it takes time." He goes, "Tell me what they look like. I'm gonna go find them." And sure enough, I told him, we left, came back maybe 30 minutes or so later. There they were inside the room. He had already tucked them inside the room for us. And that's how it was. You felt everything. I'll get to the food service later for dinner service, but where it really, really shined through. But overall, yeah, Ryan, you could immediately feel it in every interaction that you had.
That's good to know.
I'm glad you brought that up because one of the most boring parts, and for anyone that's done cruising in the past, you know exactly what I'm about to talk about.
Yeah.
The mustard drill.
Yeah.
How did they make that Disney-fied? Like, was it standard protocol, like what you know to expect, or did they change it up and really Disney-fy it?
Yeah, I mean, it was completely different process than any of them that I've ever done, right?
Okay.
Previously on any ship that I've ever been on, you had to put the vest on. You had to go outside, whether on the deck, on the main pool deck, or you know, on one of the decks by the safety boats, and go through the drill, right? With someone reading to you and all this jazz. This was super easy. You just had to go and check in at your certain mustard drill location. Our checkpoint was at the top level of the Luna Lounge. So one of the lounges inside there is kind of like a theater style seating. It actually mimics the Globe Theater. We learned that on the walkthrough tour. Well, I learned that by proxy because my sister and her husband took the tour and they passed a little knowledge on to me. So any Shakespeare fans can go check that out. But yeah, we sat down in the theater along with like three or four other groups, and they talked us through it, and you know, and then they showcased the video real quick, and that was it. I mean, it was, if everyone shows up on time and checks in, it's a painless, you know, 10 to 15 minute ordeal. And probably the hardest part of it was exiting along with, you know, 300 or 400 other people at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super easy.
Well, that's good to know. You know, yeah. Something different and something that we know is usually not the most funnest part of the cruise, but it's definitely necessary. So pretty cool that they were able to change that up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. But yeah, and basically that's what we did next. And then afterwards, it was basically time for the sail away party that they do on the pool deck. Before I touch on the sail away party itself, the room that we had, man, I'll tell you guys. So we had I think Ryan has the same room type that we had, but we had the deluxe ocean view stateroom with veranda.
Yep.
The family one. And so this is the one that has, it's got a king bed. It's got the bunk beds, the two twin bunks, one being the couch and one being from the ceiling. And then it had the fifth bed, which is a Murphy, twin Murphy bed that drops down as well, kind of right in front of the entrance to the veranda or to the balcony. It also is equipped with two bathrooms, one bathroom being the where the throne is and a sink, and then the second bathroom being another sink and then the shower tub combo. The amount of space in this room, the storage that they had in there, the plugs, the outlets, just everything they had, the vanity and area, so well thought out, just kind of like perfectly placed. I was thoroughly surprised by just how much room we actually had in that cabin. It was absolutely the biggest cabin we've ever stayed in on a cruise. And just felt ginormous, really. It really, at times it felt like it was too big, if I'm being honest. Like it, there was a lot of space there that it made it very, very comfortable to stay in. But back to the sail away party. So this is one that, I'll be honest, I didn't want to necessarily participate in leading up to the cruise. I figured, hey, I could go do something else instead of, you know, standing here with the rest, basically the rest of the cruise ship and watching a stage show. But before the show, you know, we went out there because, you know, my family wanted to see it. So so we went out to and found a good spot up on the 12th deck overlooking this, the main stage there. And, you know, they had a DJ playing some music and then the show began. And I'll tell you, the song sticks with you a little bit. It's a little catchy tune. So the show ended up being a pretty good show. And I will say I was wrong for not wanting to go. Now, each to each their own. There could definitely be some people out there that absolutely don't want to attend it. Or if you've attended it once, then you don't need to attend it again. I get that line of thought. But I was super happy that we decided to go to it. It was a lot of fun. The kids had a blast, but everyone had blast. It was kind of like that official start to the cruise, right? Like because then right after that, it's like, hey, we're pulling away, guys. Like we're about to actually be going. And so it's kind of like the culmination of everything leading up to that moment, right? And you know, I could see where it could get emotional for some people. I mean, like, especially considering, you know, the time for us. And I mean, this was a 13-month thing, a planning process, and there a lot of time and attention had gone into it and a lot of effort, right? And for it to finally be happening and to be officially happening and, you know, the music playing and everything, it just kind of gets in your feelings a little bit. And so I could understand how some people could be very emotional in a positive way for this, right? And so it was a good moment. It was a good moment. I felt good for my parents who made a lot of sacrifices to make this happen for everybody involved. I felt good just to have my family there all together for a nice vacation together. And again, just super excited for my boys who get to experience going on a cruise for the first time, just like we did when we were young, right? And you know, not quite as young as they are, but that again, kind of what we talked about right at the first of this episode, Ryan, right? Is it, the things that we get to do and the memories we get to share and spending and making those memories with our family, that's what this is all about. And I kind of that whole moment was kind of all that happening, right? And so we knew it was going to be a pretty special event from that moment on.
Yeah, and this is kind of by design, by how far in advance you have to book these cruises, that there's such a buildup compared to, there's been times we've booked with Royal Caribbean and Carnival on vacations to go 3 weeks before the cruise leaves.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like our weekend Disney trips. Like there's no, it's just get your shit together and go. Where, like you said, this is a culmination almost, because you've had a year to prepare and anticipate and research and try to, you know, figure out what to do, but then still, like you said, just that atmosphere and that music and that moment, it's almost overwhelming. And it's like, no matter how much you've read on it or YouTube videos or anything, nothing can capture that quite like being on that pool deck and setting sail, and the fireworks going off and the music playing and the characters dancing and just looking around and seeing thousands of people going through the motions that you're going through.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like for myself, right? My perspective was from seeing these, you know, YouTube videos of all this, right? It's like, I don't need to go to this party. I don't need to go do that. And shame on me, because it was so entertaining, right? Like, until you're doing it, that's when it catches up to you, you know? And so it was really good. It was a really good showcase, really good show. And like I said, the song kind of gets stuck in your head a little bit. So it was a good time. But from there we were sailing, and this is when the rushing started to happen, because now the ship is fuller, and we noticed, oh, that early boarding time actually did pay off, because there was, comparatively speaking, hardly anyone on the ship compared to now. This thing is almost full, and you could start to feel it a little bit in some of these common areas. But we had to rush back to the room, because we had this early dinner that started at 5:45, and you don't know what dinner you're going to get until you get on the ship, right? Until you can connect to the ship Wi-Fi. And I think we got a pretty good rotation for our dinner selection. So we started out with Worlds of Marvel as our night one dinner. And I would say the theming of the restaurant itself, pretty cool. Like, it's supposed to be like kind of like PIM Labs, and it's got these like giant screens everywhere, and you know, it's like, right, it's darker lit, but then it's got these, you know, bright kind of like blue neons everywhere and stuff. And so it felt like you were kind of in a Marvel movie. The show's good with Ant-Man, the Wasp, Spider-Man's involved with it too, but overall pretty good show, up on the screens as you're eating, interactive as well with the element on the table with the PIM, particles. But this is where, we were introduced to, our wait staff, Sarah, who was their assistant, and then our head waiter, Lloyd, which he was from Costa Rica, and he was instantly, he instantly recognized that he shared a name with us. And so he got a kick out of that and said, "Hello, family," you know, and just kind of instantly became part of our family. And really took a liking to the boys, and they reciprocated it right back and took a liking to him. And you could start to feel that relationship instantly building with him. And this was, I mean, when you talk about one of the treats of the entire trip, this was one of the best parts of it, was seeing that relationship blossom between him and the kids, especially, but between our whole family. I mean, he really did. This was the epitome of Disney service, the Disney difference, whatever you want to call it. It was simply amazing. I don't know how else to describe it, except for the fact that, I mean, you want to talk about professionalism. Absolutely. I've experienced that in other cruises, right? And other staff members, professional as they can be. But there's something about that personal connection that you just instantly can develop with someone. And that's what this was. It was beyond just, "Let me take care of you. I'm here to serve you for the next couple of days." This was, "Let me get to know you. How can I get to know you? Let's get to know each other better. Let's get more connected on a personal level, and let's have fun together," right? But still kept that "I'm here to do a job" mentality. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm not going to let you down. And that's that. And that way of thinking, and it was so welcoming. It was so nice to experience that. So yeah, that's just kind of, I wanted to mention Lloyd a little bit there because he was phenomenal. But let's get to the food here, World of Marvel. This does end up being, spoiler alert, my least favorite meal of the trip. You do rotational dining on Disney cruise ships, which is something different for us, but your staff follows you along the way. You just experience different menus and different restaurants along the way. So with this menu, they had a different selection. It was an eclectic menu because they had different selections from kind of across like the regions from where all the Avengers are from. So you had some dishes that were kind of more like African inspired for Wakanda. You had some things that were inspired from like Scandinavia or Russia. You had some things inspired from like New York. They had like the shawarma, right, from Iron Man. So they had some different things kind of scattered across this menu. And what's great too is, right, you can literally get anything you want and you can get as much as you want. You have an ability to try new things if you want to feel adventurous and try some things maybe that you don't normally try. If you're just extra hungry, you can get as much as you want. Or you can just, if you're feeling something different, you can just go and, you know, change your mind. It was nice that way where we were able to try, you know, a handful of things every night. I will say I started the meal out with a bao bun, which was actually really good. It was a pork bao bun. And then I had a broccolini and cheddar soup. So it was like a broccolini base, super, super good. I'll tell you, the soups are where it's at on Disney cruises. Those are incredible. I had a soup at every meal, at every dinner, and they were all great. Like great, great. But for the main course, I got the chicken schnitzel, and it was served with some, you know, potatoes and some green beans. And it was okay. Like it was, like I said, like I prefaced, this was my least favorite meal out of the entire trip, but it was still decent. And I thought, honestly, if I could go back, I would have skipped the main entree or got something else and just got like more of the soup and some other of the appetizer options. Like I would have just loaded up on that stuff instead of the schnitzel like I got. And then they had a bunch of dessert options as well. I elected to go with the key lime pie, which was, you know, right on brand for me. And it was really good. So it was a good dining experience overall. Like I said, the show overall was pretty good. The theming of the restaurant was pretty good. The food, again, other than my schnitzel, was pretty good. That soup, again, was amazing. But yeah, overall, it's a really good dining experience. And, you know, we were lucky enough to have that early dining so that we could go and, you know, explore the ship a little bit more and go to the Broadway style shows. And that's what we did next. We went over to the Walt Disney Theater, which is the main theater on the ship. It's huge. And we saw the Disney Seize the Adventure original show. And this was a really good show. If you're fans of Goofy, especially, this is a really good show to see. If you're fans of a lot of Disney films and like kind of like a mashup style, this is a really good show for you. It's crazy what these performers can do and the amount of different things that they are asked to do. And this show is great. The technology they have in that theater is super, super nice. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, and you can't video in there or photograph in there. So I can't show you anything either, but I could tell you that if you're a fan of Disney princesses, if you're a fan of Goofy, or if you're just a fan of Disney originals in general, then you should definitely go take time to see this show. This show was the shortest of all of them. It was only 30 minutes. The other two nights were an hour long show. So this is one that you should definitely make time to go see. It's nice too, because they have the little preludes on each side where you can get popcorn and soda and stuff too. Kind of enjoy, have a little snack while you watch. So it's really good setup and a lot of fun, and the whole family enjoyed it.
So, again, you mentioned that y'all had the early dinner slot to warrant more time in the afternoon or the evening time for shows. Did you feel rushed at all from the departure, the deck party, to get to dinner?
Yeah, that was one of the few times I felt rushed on this trip, was just for the sheer fact that we hadn't had time with our bags to get unpacked, get organized in the room before having to go out to the deck party and stuff. Like, so when we got back, we were trying to get ready for dinner at the same time as getting organized in the room. And so when you're trying to do that, you just get pressured, and you're trying to get yourself ready and your family ready. It's a lot of things happening all at once, right? And so that's how I felt rushed, was because of that.
Yeah, see, I've heard of people saying, I've heard some people say, like, you know, if you want to get in the pool, wear swim attire on the boat. But then again, if you have the early dinner slot, wear clothes that you plan on wearing to dinner getting on the boat, because of the fact of having to go to dinner, right? Pretty much towards the later half of the deck party. And I guess depending on what time slot you have, you've got to prepare for that.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, either one's not a bad strategy. What I would say is, you know, in my opinion, the best bet is if you have that early dinner, you're better suited to wear what you're wearing to dinner during that party, during that sail away party. So if you can have your bags and get to your room before that party starts and get changed into dinner attire, if you will, I think that's probably the perfect scenario. So depending on what your port time or your boarding time is, right, you may have time to get on there and enjoy some pool time. Whether, even if it's 30 minutes, you may still be able to enjoy some time to go to the pool, take 30 minutes to go grab a bite to eat, right? And then you could immediately go change, right? So it just depends on, like, how you want to spend those first few hours on the ship, right? You could definitely design it in a way, though, that allows you to be prepared more for dinner, especially at that early dinner time.
Yeah. So since we're kind of winding down your first day, how was your experience in your room for nighttime? You know, getting the kids to bed and you know, the amenities of the room and, you know, the view of the balcony at night.
Yeah. I mean, this was the first time I've ever had a balcony on a cruise ship. And let me tell you, it was pretty awesome. I will have to say that. Now, we purposely looked for a room, and we're lucky enough to get one that was on the bump out. And if you don't know what that means, on the Disney Wish, this is the first ship that they've done it on, and it should be on the Treasure and on the Destiny, since they're in the Triton class as well. There is a section of balconies basically that follow where the elevator shafts are for the ship that essentially bump out a little bit. They kind of half moon shape out gradually. And what this does is it causes a little extra room on the veranda. And what's really nice about these rooms is that most of them book for the same price as the standard veranda rooms that aren't on the bump out. So you get a little extra room, and it can actually be up to a foot of extra room. And that makes a pretty big difference on the cruise ship. And so that was nice. And then we also had connecting rooms with the rest of our family. And so not only did we have a connecting door in the cabin, but we had our room attendant basically unlock the divider. And so you could walk between our two verandas as well, which opened up that space even more for us, right? So that was super enjoyable. Inside the cabin at nighttime, again, I was super impressed by the staff and the attention, right? Is they knew that we were coming back to the room at night. So not only did they turn the bed down, they had drawn the curtain for us, right? Gotten the kids' bunks ready for them. But also, they had utilized the lighting, the lower dim lit lamps and stuff, to kind of set a nighttime ambiance in the room, which is very nice. I mean, it was very nice to come back to the room and be like almost hit with that like relaxation mode for the room setting. So that was, again, just a nice little touch. But
the little things.
Yeah, exactly. But to come back, I mean, able to get the kids ready for bed quickly. And because of the divider, the curtain and everything, right? Like, they're super jazzed just to be in bunk beds and be on the cruise ship and be on vacation and all that, right? So it takes a little bit for them to wind down from that excitement piece. But we were all exhausted from everything that had happened that day. So it was really nice. Now, my wife was gracious enough to stay with the kids while I went out and explored the ship a little bit more. I got some more content for you all out there. So all the a lot of the video footage that you get to see on YouTube is because of her graciousness. So I got to go over to explore the ship a little bit more, but I got to go over to the Bayou Lounge. That was one of my stops that I definitely wanted to make, and got to enjoy a drink there. And a Purple Haze, right? They feature a Beta there as their drink selection. They have a full bar as well, but their beer selection is exclusively a Beta, which I love. And yeah, exactly. So I had a Purple Haze and I had a couple beignets there at the Bayou to kind of wind down the evening. And it couldn't have been a better way, in my opinion. They had some They had some trivia going on down in the lounge. I just sat at the bar and I just, you know, just took it in. And it was one of those kind of moments like, all right, it's, you know, you have it a little bit to yourself. It's a little quieter, right? You get, you know, do your thoughts and some of the trivia that's going on behind you in the background. And just, you know, again, taking that time to realize, hey, you know, you did it. You're here. You know, we're doing this. And it's take advantage of the rest of the ride. So
yeah,
it was a good evening. I got back to the room after exploring some more, definitely exhausted and ready to let the boat rock me to sleep. So it was a good first day on the ship.
That's awesome. And that's the crazy part is that all of this was just an afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And having to live that, and you know, you get in that moment to just have a moment of quiet and just breathe. Like, okay, you know, we got through this first evening. Breathe. You're here. It's time to dial it back and enjoy.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would be a strong recommendation for me from me to anyone listening is, if you, I mean, it applies for any vacation, right? Is, you know, we get caught up. We talk about this a lot too, and with the parks, right? We see these families all the time, and that, you know, there's so much that goes into these vacations, right? So much time, so much energy, so much planning, so much money, that you just want everything to be perfect, right? You want everything to be perfect. You want everything to go to this schedule, and we're going to do this then, and it just needs to be this way. And the world don't work like that. And when it doesn't, people have decisions to make of how they're going to react. And all I can say is especially when you're boarding the ship, right, that very first day, that embarkation day, when there's so much going on, remember that you are on vacation, that you're there to enjoy your time. And if it means that you take some time in the evening to just decompress and remind yourself that the reason why you're here, then I think it will do a lot for you for the rest of the trip.
That's a huge testimony. That's big.
Yeah. It's wonder what, you know, a little 10 minute self decompressing moment can do for you.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you got a lot to be excited about, right? You got a lot to be happy about. It, I mean, it takes a lot out of you, right? But there's so much fun to be had, right? So it's like you can't let the, you know. And I'm sitting here, right? And like I'm like, all right, well, I want to get content for the show, right? I want to get content for the YouTube channel. I want to be able to experience everything I can experience, so I can come back and tell everyone about everything. And you know, it's like, yeah, I have to remind myself, right? Like it's like, I also want to have time for me. I want to have time for my family. I want to have time to enjoy all the things, right? And don't put yourself into a position of pressure, just because, right? It's you know, trust the homework you did, trust the preparation work that you did, and sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I had to find that balance as well early in the game when we first started really going out and capturing content in the parks and having a purpose of where we were going and what we were looking for. And you almost get that writer's block at some point where you pressure yourself too much and there's just nothing coming to you. And sometimes if you just dial it back and let the organic things happen, it pays dividends. And, you know, it's easy, you know, overthinkers like us three, we get overwhelmed with just overthinking everything and trying, you know, you pressure yourself to make sure everything's perfect. It could be a whirlwind. It could be overwhelming, but you know, everything you did was right. Just take that moment, breathe, and remember it's still a vacation, and the moments are going to come. The moments are going to come to you. And that's the big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and they absolutely did. They absolutely did. So that's what we'll talk about next week as we unravel part two of this and the rest of this itinerary, because it turned into a fantastic trip. Not to get too far ahead, not to spoil it for anyone yet, but this was a phenomenal vacation.
Yeah, I mean, over the course of the past, you know, hour that we've been talking, we literally encapsulated an afternoon. So I can only imagine what the next episode or maybe two episodes, depending on how far we run through this. it's going to be a whirlwind, and it's going to be a journey. It'll be a 3-week journey for some of you listening along. You're going to be on a cliffhanger for a few days, and you may have to roll back in the catalog and pacify yourself with some older episodes, but these are going to be great. And I, for one, I'm taking notes because now I'm just 65 days away from my sailing, and I'm just notating everything Jordan's saying, and I have the same dinner schedule, same itinerary. So I'm going to take his testimony and put it to use in May, and we'll see how it goes from there. It's going to be fantastic, and I can't wait for next week's edition because, man, I'm going to probably be pumping him for questions behind the scenes through text messages, trying to get some more info here and there. And
yeah. That's what this is all about, right? Is I wanted to experience this for myself, but to have a platform to share with others and to possibly help other people optimize their time that. With the money they've invested for this type of trip, I mean, that's a blessing, right? Is to be able to, you know, to be able to help people by you know, with suggestions and with experience. I mean, that's a big reason why we do this thing, right? And so I very much look forward to going through the rest of this trip and glean any insights from my experiences, for sure.
Yeah,
this is a perfect segue leading right into the ending here. So we want to make sure we remind you guys to follow us on all the social media platforms, especially YouTube, with Jordan getting some updated brand new content covering his entire cruise trip. And you'll get to see all the information and scenes and all the stuff that he got to experience captured all on YouTube. So make sure you go do all of that stuff first across all the social media platforms. Just look for us at Off the Monorails and you'll find us. Make sure you subscribe, like, all the good stuff, all the free stuff, get it all done so you're notified and up to date on the newest content that we drop.
Yep. And also, while you are listening, if the platform that you listen on allows you to do so, be sure and give us a rating or a review. That helps us reach a larger audience. It helps put us in the algorithm. And any feedback that we get from you guys is well appreciated. Lets us know you're listening and you care enough to type something up about us or click some stars. So that would be a huge blessing to us. And again, as Justin said, just make sure you're following along with everything. We love the interactions on all the socials, the likes, the comments, the DMs, all of the organic conversations we've had with people. We've met some great people along the way. This journey is still just beginning, 3 years into this, and we got a long way to go. But yeah, Jordan, thank you for your breakdown of your first afternoon of this trip, and I cannot wait for part two, and that'll be coming at you next week. So everybody stay tuned and be patient with us, because it's going to be a doozy.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure so far, and like I said, I'm very much looking forward to unraveling the rest.
Well, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get out of here for now, but we'll catch you next week. I'm Ryan.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Jordan.
And this is Off the Monorails.